joining us to talk about this issue and many related issues. I'm just so pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Jeremy Levin. And just so you get a sense of Dr. Levin, his level of expertise. So he's got a PhD in cell biology from Oxford. He's got the British equivalent of an MD in surgical degree from Cambridge. He's the chairman and CEO of Ovid Therapeutics. He used to run Teva Pharmaceuticals, one of the largest drug companies in the world. It's based in Israel. And he is currently the CEO of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, or rather the chairman of the board. I sometimes get those confused. He's chairman of the board. So with a resume as long as your arm, this guy really knows what he's talking about. And Dr. Levin, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Ross. Thank you for having me.
We've heard a bunch of news in the past couple of days, optimistic talk from the WHO, broadly speaking, about prospects for a vaccine, and specific talk yesterday from Johnson & Johnson about a vaccine candidate that they're going to be testing, what counts for soon in that world, that they think has a high probability of success. I wonder if you could guide us a little bit through the process of creating a vaccine, both on the technical side and the regulatory side.
You bet. Ross, I think as we do this, you perhaps might want to help your listeners also understand there are three tiers of attack against this particular virus. One is diagnostics, two is near-term therapeutics, and three, longer-term, the vaccines. And the vaccines, which you've asked me to, they won't really kick in until 6 months to a year from now as potential therapeutics. So you are right. We have fantastically good news on that longer-term work, but we should get back to the near-term. Johnson & Johnson, as you know, got $1 billion commitment to develop a vaccine, and they're going to build up to 1 billion doses with that. That's a lot of dosage, but they have the muscle to do it. Another company, also a member of Bio, Moderna, is going to enter phase 1 trials. Now, the way you build these vaccines is complex. You have to break down the virus. You have to find the right part of the virus to take out. And then you have to see if the body, if you inject that part of the virus into the body, will your body's white cells mobilize and attack it? And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. And so it's a little uncertain. Once you've got that body, once you have that particular protein that you want to attack, that you want to inject into the human being, you now go, you run what's called a phase 1 trial. That phase 1 trial will tell you whether you have, your body has mounted antibodies to attack it. If they do, you're in great luck. You then move on from that to start in a parallel track, building the ability to manufacture the dosage. You've got to have the manufacturing for this. No good to have a result and then go back and build it. So you have to build a manufacturing plant immediately, and that can happen with great speed given current technologies. And then you have to go to the FDA. Now, the FDA has done a fantastic job of gearing up. We really need to applaud them. For example, in the diagnostics area, they have an emergency act which allows us to immediately bring new diagnostics on. They're going to do the same with the vaccine. They've got a whole track there which we'll walk through. This won't be the same slow process that we have with normal drugs that take a long time, and this will be an accelerated process. So I'll stop for a second. But bear in mind, these vaccines, this is a well-tried path. It's well understood, but it does take 3 to 6 months to know that you've actually got something, and then another 4 to 5 months to actually get it into serious testing.
So typically, when you are doing these kind of tests on a vaccine or on any drug for that matter. Dr. Levin, just so you know, my background is financial markets trading, and I spent a lot of time trading smaller biotech stocks as they went through the process of attempting to develop a drug, and some of them made it and became bigger companies, and some of them failed and disappeared. So I have more experience than the average doctor, and at least more experience than the average non-doctor in at least watching these kind of things. So obviously, when you're trying to create a new pharmaceutical, a new treatment, a new vaccine, you need to test for both efficacy and safety. In phase one, are you testing for both of those? And are they tested the same way at the same time in the same human subject? How does that work?
Good point. Every drug you need to understand, is it safe and is it effective? In the case of most drugs in a phase one small oral drug, all you're testing to see is it safe? And you don't necessarily test for its efficacy. Now, in vaccines, it's a little different. You actually inject the product into the blood, into the under the skin, and you ask the question, does the body generate antibodies? Now, at that time, you're also going to ask the question, is it safe? And in this instance, if it generates antibodies and it's a terrific response, you can accelerate that very rapidly if you choose. If it doesn't have generate any antibodies, you're back to square one, but it may be safe, but you haven't got efficacy. So you don't yet know if you have mounted an effective response until you've actually seen those antibodies. And then you have to ask the question, do patients respond? In the phase one, and many are going to be doing this way, they're going to be doing this not just on normal volunteers, they're going to be doing this on patients who have the virus.
Right.
They're going to ask the question, can you actually do this real fast? Can you see that these patients are recovering, or can you actually get some reduction in the viral load as you mount these antibodies? So there are ways of speeding this up, different from what we've done in the past, and I'm sure they're going to be using those.
Very interesting. Okay, so you properly mentioned, of course, that in trying to fight this virus, you've got diagnostics, meaning testing. You've got potentially short-term treatments, and then you've got the vaccine, and the vaccine is the kind of furthest out thing and the biggest picture thing in the long run. But in the short run, we're dealing with what we've got right now. So let's start with the testing. It seems like with what Abbott is doing and some other companies have done, it seems like we're getting close to the testing capacity that we need, or am I overly optimistic there?
No, Ross, you're 100% correct. Look, Bio collected all of this. We've got it all put together so everybody can have available information on it. And all they have to do is to go to the website, which is just for their information, is www.bio.org. That information is there, but let's talk about the things that are super exciting. Number one, let's give kudos to the FDA. They accelerated diagnostics approval. The result of that was many, many, many companies jumped into the fray. Immediately you have, for example, Abbott, which launched just a day ago, literally, a test which will look at a particular gene in the virus and will give you a result in 5 minutes if you have that virus. It operates on a thing about the size of a toaster, and in addition to which, it can give you a negative result in about 13 minutes. So that is really what we call point of care. That will be at the by the side of the physician, but they're not alone. And remember, I'm just picking these out. There are lots and lots of different types of tests that are coming along. I'm picking these out because they're most recent, and those who are listening should know about them. For the Abbott test, you're really talking about a throat swab, a nasal swab, something that will actually just test for that bug. The second one, which is really interesting and also good, is one which is geared up. It comes from abroad, actually. It's a company here in the United States called Henry Schein, and they've got it. They're shipping out tests which are really, they take a little pinprick, and 15 minutes later, they'll tell you whether you have had the disorder disorder, or you have antibodies, you've got a resistance against it. Very important. And then on the top of that, you know, you have another giant, Roche, who's begun shipping over 400,000 of their novel molecular tests for this to hospitals and clinical labs. So they, too, have made use of the tremendous work at the FDA to accelerate it. And this is the one which also tests for uses nasal swabs. So it's really looking for the virus. So there's lots of good news in the virus. And now what that means is that as anybody comes in or needs to be tested, doctors, nurses, physicians, primary care people, the people who are in the front line, you can see, are they okay? And hopefully we'll be able to screen whole cities to ask the question, should you be at home? Who in that city actually has the disease? Can we track them? Can we track those that they've touched? This is fantastic news, and we are gearing up. We are way late on this. We should have been doing this 3 months ago. We should have been doing this 2 months ago. But we are doing this now, and that's good news.
My special guest, Dr. Jeremy Levin, is chairman of the board of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Doctor, I know I only have you for about another 2 minutes here. So we've talked about diagnostics and potential vaccines. Let's talk about immediate short-term treatments. What's the news of the last 24 to 72 hours that we need to know about? Is there any data on chloroquine yet? Anything else that we need that we need to know about?
Yep. Please be cautious. The FDA has approved a combination hydroxychloroquine and another drug.
Azithromycin.
My apologies to you and everybody listening. So much flowing through right now. Sometimes I forget the names, but they're all complex names. The bottom line is there is no clinical trial that has been done to demonstrate the safety and efficacy of this drug. There are existing drugs. We need that data. Physicians should be cautious about prescribing them until they actually have clear data. It's coming. It will be here. If it's there, fantastic. If it isn't, we need to know that hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine have in the past shown very, very unpleasant side effects. At the same time, we have Roche, who's bringing forward Actemra, which fights the inflammation. It doesn't attack the bug, but it fights the terrible inflammation you get from it. Really interesting results coming up very shortly from them. They've rushed to do this. And Gilead has brought remdesivir to the table. This is a drug which has been used for other areas, but this does attack the virus, and hopefully we'll learn, can it actually be effective? But in each of these cases, it's critical that we have safety and efficacy data, just like you mentioned, Ross, because if we start prescribing for everybody things that we don't know are safe and effective, then we're in trouble.
If you were a betting man, would you think that within 2 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe, we'd have something that is very likely to be safe and effective? Let's say a month from now. How do you feel about a month from now?
If I'm a betting man, I think we will know the dosages of what might work okay, not what will work. We have enough clinical trials ongoing to say, do we know, are they effective, are they safe, what is the dose? We must have all of those three. And I am a good betting man. I know there's enough money being spent on this and enough people behind it to say that we're going to do that. By the way, I don't bet. I only spend money on investments in investing in new medicines. I never bet on anything. I bet only on drugs that can help people and medicines that can help people.
I do a little of both. Dr. Jeremy Levin, chairman of the board of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, thanks for your time. Thanks for your insight. Look forward to having you back on the show.
Ross, it'll be a real pleasure. Let's hope we get to where we want to go now. We are on the road, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for the uplifting words, Doctor.